Good morning, everyone, especially to our visitors. I'm really glad to see you guys. What a small world. Because at the back, Nathan, he is our student at Mount Rack. And some of the girls there, I recognize them. They are our grandkids, Glenn Redkay's grandkids, and Glenn Redkay is my husband's first cousin. So welcome here at Diller Mennonite Church. And there is only one that we are lifting up in this church, and he is Jesus Christ. So, and also our from Dominican Republic, welcome here. Actually, she is not a visitor, but she is a visitor since she is living in Dominican Republic. And I know she is the daughter of Lois. So welcome also here. I know you belong in this church. But anyway, I am Elsie Rice. To give you a little background about myself, what is my credibility to share the word of God. So in the Philippines, I was preaching since 1993. So 1993 when I was in my early 20s, and now I'm already 55 years old. So that long. So this morning, I welcome each one of you to please stand for the reading of the word of God. So in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we know, Father, that you said in your word that one or two or three gathered in your name, you are in the midst of them. So, Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit in our midst to minister unto us. And, Lord, whatever I prepare, you can add and you can delete. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, be the Lord over us today that we can really hear from you. Use me only, Lord, as a channel of blessing of your word. And Lord, you know also what is in our hearts right now. Lord, you prepare our hearts, our minds. If you see sin in our hearts, whether it is sin intentionally or we don't know that it is intentional, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us, Lord, so that, Lord, your word can penetrate into our being. And Lord, your word, we can apply your word, Lord, as we walk in this life. So sanctify us, Lord, this morning. So this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody sit down, please. Okay, this morning we are going to talk about the Great Commission. So what is that Great Commission? So I'm glad that we have kids here. Okay, so what is this Great Commission? So this Great Commission, this is like making a disciple. Okay, so when Jesus, before Jesus, okay, do we know Jesus' kids? Okay, raise your hands, kids, if you know Jesus. Okay. You know, the kids before I know they know already Jesus, but I only make sure that the kids at the back, they know Jesus. Okay. Jesus is our Lord and Savior of the world. Okay. So before Jesus go back to heaven, he has a great commission for the disciples. And when he gave this commission, to great commission to his disciples, he had a promise to them. He promised them to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we can read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this is to bring, this power is the Holy Spirit to help the disciples to bring the good news or the gospel to where? So it says here, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So we are included at the ends of the earth because we are not from Jerusalem, we are not from Samaria, we are not from Judea. So thanks for these disciples who obeyed Jesus, because the gospel, we are now saved because the gospel was brought to us, up to us in our days. So thank God. So this is the great commission mandated to us by Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus makes sure to them that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit before they go. So this promise is up to each one of us up to this time. This is a call to each one of us to bring the gospel to the people. So why I make this a title, a call to witness? Because this is for each one of us. And maybe we don't know, we want to share the gospel, but we don't know how. Did we experience sharing the gospel? Be honest. Did we experience sharing the gospel or presenting the gospel to someone? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, thank you. But in our hearts, most of the time, we are really wanting to share the gospel, but we don't know how. Right? You don't know how. So is it difficult? Is it hard? So how that Great Commission, how? I want to obey Jesus, but I don't know how. So how are we going to present this to people? Okay? So the mandates comprised, or the command of Jesus comprised in this Great Commission is that one. The first one said, "Go. Go to the nations." Okay, go. The word go. So it is for all of us. So when we go to the nations, what is that nations? So in the Bible, nation is from the Greek word is ethne, means people group. A group of people with common ethnicity, heritage, culture, and language. So all the nation means every people group. And there are 12,000 unique people groups worldwide. Well, just imagine, there are 12,000 people group, including your group and my group. There are 12,000. And this 12,000 group, up to this time, there are people group that don't ever heard the gospel, don't ever heard about Jesus. And I believe even here in America now, maybe there are also people that don't heard yet about who Jesus is. So we have to go. to every people group. So when we go, what are we going to tell? Is it difficult? What are we going to tell? So the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, it says, as it is written. So we are going to tell to them that we are sinners. So again, so in Romans chapter 3, 10, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, it says, as it is written, therefore there is no righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So what does it mean? Everyone, you and me, we are all sinners. So we are going to tell that we are sinners. This is what we are going to tell to the people. But of course, we have to be smart. We must be friendly. You cannot say that, okay, I'm going to share the gospel now. Oh, repent your sin. Before I share the word of God, I have to be friendly first. I have to make connection first. And when we are already friends, I can already start telling about the gospel. Because if you are going to go directly, oh, you're a sinner. Who are you to tell me that I'm a sinner? So I remember, speaking of my own experience, before I believed that I was not a sinner. I believe that I was not a sinner. Because, you know, some of you, you know already my testimony that we were left by our father when I was a teenager. So in the Philippines, it's not like here in America, that the fathers in America, if you are divorced or separated, the father here are still responsible for the kids. In the Philippines, we don't have laws about that. So when our father left us, we were left alone with our mother, and our mother was only the one taking care of us. So in my mind, I said, oh, I have no sin. It's my father's sin, because he is the one who abandoned us. So that is in my mind. So I don't recognize, but, you know, knowing the word of God, starting reading, when I come to know the word of God, I repented. I said, oh, I don't know that my pride in my heart is sin. My self-righteousness is sin. So that is why this is the first thing that we are going to tell if we are going to go, that we are all sinners. And then, since we are all sinners, what's next? So we are going to tell that we are all sinners. And we are going, number two, we are going to tell that the wages of our sin is death. The wages of our sin is death. What is kind of death? Yeah, we know already, we know for sure that each one of us will die. That's death, right? And the Bible said that dust, we are from the dust, and going to the dust, this body will come dust one day. But it doesn't end there. So the Bible said that once this body will die, there is a spirit that will come out here that will still alive. And that spirit without Jesus, there is what we call the second death. Okay, so I'm going to read in Romans 6:23. I'm sorry, I don't have the slide. I hope you can follow. In Romans 6:23, it says there that for the wages of sin is death. So there is a penalty for death. So how does second death look like? So it says here in Revelation, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So without Jesus Christ, there will be a second death. And this fiery lake of burning sulfur, the other term of this is the hell. And it says, who will go there? The unbelieving. Who are the unbelieving? Those who don't believe that there is God, those who don't believe that Jesus is God. Yeah, there are a lot of people now that who don't believe that there is God, or those who don't believe that Jesus is God. So the vile, or what is the vile? They are the mean people, the murderers. Yeah, maybe we are not murdering people, right? But many times when we are angry, the Bible said that when you're angry, the equivalent of that you kill people. That's what Jesus said in the New Testament. And what else? The sexually immoral. The magic arts, those who practice magic. The idolaters. So maybe we are not in the Philippines. I grew up in the Philippines. Yeah, I used to worship idols. The literal idols created by hands. But maybe here in America, since birth, you don't have that. But we have a lot of idolatry or idols in our lives. We can make our wealth as our idols. We can make our time as our idols. We can make our children as our idols. So we can make idols. So what idols mean? The one that we give more of our attention, more than God. So it's idolatry. So we see, we have a lot of mess in this life. So we are all sinners. So everyone deserves what? The second death. Everyone deserves it. But wait, thank God, because the verse is not yet done. The verse is not yet done. It says, for the wages of sin is death. So we know already what kind of death, the second death. But there's a but there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is now the good news. So each one of us, we deserve the second death. But thank God, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I have my own version of this. I just rephrase. For God the Father loved the people that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believes on him will go to heaven. Not to the fiery lake of fire. So many people don't know this. And that is why the command to witness is up to now. There are a lot of people that who don't know this. That we deserve death, but there is the gift of God. There is a gift of God. And it says that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation and in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind but which we must be saved. Whose name? Can you say the name? Jesus. Only Jesus is here on earth that we can be saved. No other name. So in the Philippines, there are a lot of names. St. Peter, St. Paul, St. blah, blah, blah. We have a lot. But no. We must remember they are also human like us, like you and me. They are the disciples before who served Jesus, but they are not God. Only Jesus sent by God. Is that make sense? Yeah. So there's only one name. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind but which we must be saved. And this is Jesus. So now what do we do? Now, knowing that we are all sinners, what do we do with our sins? So remember, I am presenting you on how are you going also to tell the gospel to others. So tell others that we are all sinners in a good way, in a friendly way. And then the penalty of sin is death. But there's a good news. We can go to heaven through Jesus Christ. So what we are going to do with our sin? So in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So is that have a connection that we all sinners? We are liar if we will say that we don't have sin, like what I did before, that I say, oh, I don't have sin. Self-righteousness. So we are all sinners. So we are going to confess our sins to God. All the sins from our, you know, from our childhood sins, you know that you commit sins against God, we can confess it to God. We can confess to God. And we can ask forgiveness. We can ask forgiveness. And after that, what next? We already recognize and we repented that we know that we are all sinners. So what's next? So it says that you have to accept Jesus. In John 1:12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So remember, in this verse, there is a misconception of this verse because a lot of people think that everybody or all the people in the universe are children of God. Is it? All the people in the world are children of God? Okay, I'm going to read again this verse. Try to analyze. Yet to all who did receive him, this him, this is a pronoun, this is Jesus. Okay, I'm going to change that him. Yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So does everybody children of God? No. To those only who receive or believe, Jesus has given the right to become children of God. So what is the right one? All of us, all the people in the universe are created by God. It's that very clear. That's the difference. All are created but by God. But not all are children of God, because in this verse, it is very clear that the children of God are those who repented the sin and accept Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord in their lives. Now, maybe you are thinking, how if I repented already my sin and I accepted Jesus, am I still sinning? Yes or no? Yes or no? Are you still sinning? Yes, we are still sinning. But the difference now, because we know the Holy Spirit is going to convict us of our sins, and we can already ask forgiveness of our sins. Every day we can ask forgiveness of our sins. But these sins are already redeemed by Jesus. Does that make sense? These sins are already redeemed. Yeah, we are still walking in this life. We are not yet perfect. We are not yet done. We are still, but it is redeemed by Jesus Christ. So let's continue. So that is, so asking forgiveness and accepting Jesus go hand in hand. So believing is not enough, because there are a lot of people who believe that there is God, who believe that Jesus is God. But we have to recognize and ask forgiveness of our sins and have relationship with Jesus Christ. So Christianity is about relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not, yeah, generally speaking, it is our religion, but this religion is different from other religion, because this religion is encouraging us to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we cannot see Jesus. Not now, but one day. But we can feel His Spirit. We can feel His presence in our lives if we have personal relationship with Him. So now we have, already the relationship. So what's the next? What is the next command there? You have to go. What's the next? Make disciples. Okay, make disciples. So it says there, make disciples of all nations. So number one, how? So there is a next there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So how? So usually, or generally speaking, in evangelical Christianity, we do it through immersion. Some of our brothers and sisters, they do it by sprinkling or pouring. But mostly, we do it through immersion. So immersion, we have to, you know, because this is the type of baptism, the example of Jesus Christ in the Jordan River, through immersion. So this is not about salvation. This water baptism, this is a symbolism that we also died from our sins. Like Jesus, He died and He rose again. So this is a symbolism, you know, we died from our sin and we are now new in Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old one has gone, and the new is here. So when we accepted Jesus, we are now, and that is why we are called born again. Are you familiar with the word born again? Because that is our spiritual birthday. We are born again. We are born in the Spirit. We're born in the Spirit. So now what are we going to do with this new life? So once we have already repented our sins, we are already accepting Jesus, what we are going to do with this new life? So what's the next? Can you guess? So baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So if you are already baptized, what's the next? Teaching them to obey everything. Not only something, but it says everything. Teaching them to obey everything. So in teaching, we are using curriculum. Now, in the same way, I'm also a teacher. I was teaching 5 years in private school and 13 years in private school. Aside from teaching in the church. So I know in teaching, we are using a curriculum, subject to be taught. So what is our curriculum? Our curriculum in this Christianity is, who can guess? Okay, so who can guess? Our curriculum. The Word of God, amen. The Word of God is the Bible. It's the Bible. And that is why we have to read the Bible. When I come to know Christ, I started reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation every day. It was new to me, and I was reading, wow, this is new to me. I did not know this. So that's our curriculum. So it started, okay. So we have the Bible, the Word of God. It is our curriculum. So now, when we are using that curriculum, start with the basic. Like in going to school, we are not going to teach preschool with the curriculum for the sixth grade. Yeah, we have to start with the simple one. So, is it the same with the Bible? Yes. So it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So we have to start with what? So like a baby, we have also spiritual milk. So we start to internalize simple things about the Word of God. It says here in verse 3, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted that the Lord is good? When I got to know the Lord, oh my, it's very different. I hope everybody experienced that the Lord is really good. And then, yeah, start with the basic, and then it is like a working progress. It is like a working progress. From basic, it is a working progress. What does it mean? So, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So in this Christianity, and that is why there are a lot of people who accepted Jesus Christ that don't
continue the faith. Why? Why? Because they do not understand that we need to disciple and we need also to be discipled. That in this life, also Jesus said, and in this life, it's not like a bed of roses. Do you agree with me? In our Christian life, it's not a bed of roses. We have also suffering. We can encounter that. Do you agree with me? We have encountered suffering in this life. Because the perfection of this is in heaven. So in this life, we have suffering. And some people, in my experience again, oh, since I got born again, I have a lot of problems in my life. And because of that, they are going to stop. But what is the difference? If you have Jesus and you don't have Jesus, it's the same that you have a problem. So what's the difference? This is my experience again. The difference is that before, when I didn't have Christ, and I have a problem during my younger days when my father left us, I really wanted to commit suicide. Yeah, because I feel that I don't have hope. I did not have hope in life. But what is the difference? When I have already the Holy Spirit in my life, I never, 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 never felt the same way. Up to this time, even if I encounter a lot of, you know, trials in life, I never felt that way that I want to commit suicide. I already have different because I have hope because I have Christ in my life and I know that this is only a trials. It's like a test. In school again, I said to you that I teach the whole my life. We give testing to the kids, to the youth. I was a high school teacher. And then of course in testing, Our students have different results. Their failing grades, their high, average, different grade. But one thing different with Jesus, we have different testing also in our Christian life, but Jesus never failed. Jesus never gave a failing grade. Do you believe in that? Jesus never gave a failing grade. So we have to continue because our trials in life, this is only common because Jesus has a purpose. And if we don't experience in your people group here in America, this is what I've noticed in the Philippines. Usually the problem of the people, especially in the remote areas, lack of food. So when we are going to go, usually tell us, oh, I don't have money to buy food. I don't have money to pay tuition fee for my kids. But in here, usually I don't hear that here. Here, what I usually hear is that, oh, I have cancer. Oh, I have back pains. Oh, I have tingling feet, like Elsie. So we have different. So all of this, I believe God allowed this to happen so that we, you know, if we don't have problems in life, we have only to have a right perspective. That we can go always focus to Jesus, that God can always see us, that we really need Him every day in this life. Because we have always need in our lives. Only in different, in all people group. In other people group, in other areas of the world, and this is my heart, there are a lot of people now, especially in Asia, those Asia that they belong to the Buddhism, what the communism. They never heard about Jesus Christ.
So, and this is the command that we need to go. We need to go. So, that, okay, go back. Our lives as Christian is a work in progress. Now, God is not finished in us. So, I want to encourage you to a poem. I have here a poem. Do you know the poem of the oak tree? Who knows? Okay, there are a lot of poems about the oak tree, but I select this because I can compare this to our Christian walk that, you know, we really have experienced suffering, trials in life. It says, this is by Johnny Ray Ryder Jr. It says, the oak tree. A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away. Then snapped its boughs and pulled its bark until the oak was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while the other trees fell all around. The weary wind gave up and spoke, how can you still be standing, oak? The oak tree said, I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shake my limbs and make me sway. But I have roots stretched in that earth, growing stronger since my birth. You will never touch them, for you see, they are the deepest part of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I could endure. But now I've found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew. Is it nice? Yeah, the wind here that hit the oak tree symbolizes the trials in life. And what? But what? It says that I have root. Our root. What is our root? We are rooted in Christ. We are rooted in Christ. If we have really a relation with Christ, yeah, we have a lot of suffering. We have a lot of trials. But what? Our root is we are rooted in Christ and we cannot be filled down. We can still stand. Amen? We can still stand. Since when? Since our spiritual birth. So I really like this poem. Okay, so now, don't worry. I'm almost done. So go back to our curriculum, the Bible. So what is the purpose of studying this? The curriculum or the Bible? So it says in 2 Timothy verses 3 to 16, it says that for all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we are equipped, we can go and make disciples. So we really need to read the Bible. Because in reading the Bible, it will equip us. The Bible will equip us. How? So it will teach us. Sometimes we want also, remember that, teaching them to obey everything. But sometimes we want only the word of God that can tickle our ear, right? That's our human instinct. We want only the one that tickle our ear. That, meaning to say that we want only to obey the word that we wanted to obey. But if it is not already, if we don't want it, we don't want a rebuke. Who wants rebuke? But the word of God will rebuke us. If we read the word of God, it will rebuke us. Like what my example, when I said a while ago, I was rebuked by God. That when I said, I don't have sin, oh, how about your pride? How about your anger? They are sin. So I am rebuked by the word of God. So when we are rebuked by the word of God, it says, correcting and training in righteousness. Why we are rebuked by the word of God? Not only rebuked, but we are encouraged by the word of God. And I remember before, again, I can use only my own experience. You know, being when you are a teenager, you know, we were teenager once. During that time, that's really the time that we really need our parents, I believe. And I really cried a lot because, you know, I cannot accept the fact that I don't have a father. And you know, when I opened the Bible in Psalms, because I was crying, when I opened the Bible, it says, He is the father of the fatherless. So it ministered to me, the word of God. So it encouraged me? Yeah, it also encouraged me. So the word of God is really complete. So it's really complete. So the Great Commission is a call for every Christian. So this word of God, so this is the purpose, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we are already equipped, we can now make disciple. We can now make disciple if we are equipped. So do not run away from your problems. I know our problems, my problems, I believe, different from yours. But do not run away for that, because that's only a test from God and a trial from God to make us strong, to be a better disciple. You know, the topic about discipleship is very, very broad. But I want to emphasize this morning that we really need to become a disciple and to disciple. We will not stop to like only a disciple, but we will become a discipler one day. So I heard a preaching last night from the Philippines. I said that there are a lot of people come to the church, but never become a church. It's like confusing, right? There are a lot of people in the whole world today come to the church, but never become a church. What does it mean? Because a church, we ourselves, is a church. A church is not a building. A church is we. We ourselves is the church. So we must be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. We remain in the church. We become a church. We become a disciple. We become a disciple. So the Great Commission is a call for every Christian or for each one of us. A disciple will not remain a disciple, but will also become a discipler. If we stop to disciple, that church will die, and it should not be. May I request everybody to stand and close our eyes? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. How are we today? Do we still answer Jesus' call to go and make disciples? Or are we complacent and contented? The call is still ongoing. Let us remember our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our relatives, our neighbors who still need salvation or still need to be discipled. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Yes, Lord,
1 hour or 30 minutes is not enough to study your word. So thank you, Lord, that you are still calling today for us, for each one of us, to make disciples, to go and make disciples. And help us, Lord, to be a discipler. Lord, we will not stop. Because, Lord, being a disciple will not stop. This is up to when you, Lord, when you take our lives to eternity. So help us, Lord. So I lift up unto you, Lord, right now, the children in this building. Lord, I don't know exactly if they grasped your word, but I trust the Holy Spirit, Lord, that what we planted in their hearts, one day they will grow. And I lift up also unto you, Lord, this country. Lord, there are a lot of big buildings in this country, Lord. But it's sad to say, Lord, that there are a lot of vacant seats. And Lord, people, Lord, are no longer, Lord, really, Lord, the first love that they had before. Lord, it's Lord, vanish away. But Father, you are not yet done in our lives. So Lord, continue, Lord, to minister to each one of us and continue, Lord, to work in this country that your Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, will give revival, Lord, to our hearts first and, Lord, to the whole America. And Lord, we lift up, Lord, our children, our kids in this country. Lord, they are no longer in the church. But thank you, Lord, for a few that they are still coming to church. So help, Lord, the grandparents, the parents, Lord, to really make disciples to their children. That, Lord, we, Lord, this life is only temporary. Lord, you prepare us, Lord, for eternity. Lord, we don't want, Lord, that our kids, our children, Lord, that they will not go with us, Lord, in that heaven. We don't want, Lord, that they will go to the opposite side. We want them, Lord, to be with us, Lord, in heaven with you one day. So thank you so much, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit, Lord, to seal the word that we heard this morning. And Lord, the enemy could not snatch them. And Lord, help us, Lord, to obey your command. To go and make disciples. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again, everybody.